Good morning, everyone. My name is Hoppy Roy. Being asked to speak about what Easter means to me as a lapsed Christian and as a Unitarian, especially in these unprecedented times, presents a bit of a challenge. Although each of us may have a different understanding of the story of Jesus and the Easter story, Unitarians tend to place more importance on his acts of compassion, his healing, love, and caring for the vulnerable around, rather than on the literal details of his death and resurrection. We tend to see him as a reformer, even a social activist of sorts, brave in the face of threats and willing to be an example of compassion even to the death. But it is helpful to remember that it is not only Easter that is celebrated in April. In preparing for this talk, I was curious to know what other religious celebrations occur around this time of year. Here are some. In addition to Good Friday and Easter Sunday, most Christians also celebrate Palm Sunday on April the 5th. Eastern Orthodox Christians celebrate Easter a week later, on April the 17th to 19th, with their Palm Sunday on April the 12th. Buddha's birthday is celebrated by most Buddhists on April the 8th. Theravada Buddhism celebrates New Year on April the 9th. Jewish Passover is between April the 8th and the 16th. Sikhs celebrate Vaisakhi on April the 13th, which is a celebration of New Year and a harvest festival. Ramadan for Muslims this year begins around April the 24th. There are several Hindu celebrations in the first week or so of April. And let us not forget that Earth Day is celebrated on April the 22nd this year. If the earth takes a moment to take a deep breath and start a new cycle, it seems that April, marked by so many spiritual and religious celebrations, is the moment. This Easter is unique, as we know. This moment in time on our planet is unique. Never before has the whole world been affected by the same event at the same time. This is a time when we are face to face with the best of us and the worst of us. It is our humanity and inhumanity that is visible for all to see. We humans are a perverse and confusing race. Our religious and secular histories are full of stories and examples of our amazing potential for wisdom, caring, compassion, innovation, self-sacrifice, nobility, and community. And yet there are also so many stories of our ignorance, our hatred, our lust for power, greed, narcissism, cruelty, selfishness, and disconnection. We have known for some time that this world we live in and on is on the brink of destruction from many fronts. We know that climate change and the incredible growth of the human population, deforestation, pollution, the incredible disparity between the rich and the poor, the breakdown of democratic principles, and our micro and macro economies, and of international cooperation is frightening. And now in the middle of all this comes the COVID-19 pandemic. Like most of you, like most of us all over the world, I find myself at home listening to the news on the radio and on television, checking out updates on the internet and trying to keep in touch with friends and family. I am hearing and seeing the stories of how people everywhere are trying to cope as best they can. I am hearing and seeing stories of all those people all over the world who are working on vaccine research, those on the front lines who are risking their own health and lives. I am seeing so many examples of people all over the world trying to connect in very touching, caring, creative, and even humorous ways. Of course, we all see examples of the other side of human nature, the selfishness, greed, ignorance, xenophobia, fear, blame, spreading of misinformation, cover-ups, and manipulation, most horrifically from some of our so-called leaders. But the fact that this side of human nature is for once so visible, so apparent, and that the effects are so immediate is in itself a reason for hope. As humans, we try to find meaning and hope in the suffering that happens to us, particularly the big destructive events, war, earthquakes and tsunamis, tyrants and terrorism, flooding and hurricanes, famine and disease. Suffering has always been and continues to be a part of being human. Suffering is built into virtually every religion. For the Old Testament prophets, for example, suffering was man's fate. Suffering was God's punishment for unspecified sins, potential sins, or for disobeying God's will, known or unknown. Or it was seen as a test of man's ability to love God despite suffering, or as a pathway to God through incredible and sometimes inexplicable sacrifice. Down through time, many have tried to relieve the suffering they encountered, and in so doing brought hope or inspired change. We know some of their names: Jesus, the Buddha, Sri Krishna, Gandhi, Nelson Mandela, the Dalai Lama, Mother Teresa, Martin Luther King Jr., Malala, and many, many others. Certainly, I am not glad that we are experiencing this COVID-19 pandemic, and yet over and over again I am hearing a common refrain, which is, this is our opportunity to bring about real change in how we do things together. I am hearing discussions of how we need to make fundamentally different choices, how this is our wake-up call to strengthen our systems of social structures, our ways of cooperation and interaction, to fix our broken systems, to take this opportunity to recalibrate how we function as countries and as global societies. Over and over I am hearing the plea, the hope, the determination, even though we are being given an opportunity, perhaps one last opportunity, to start to do things in a different way. There are many, very many people and voices out there trying to give us hope, to draw us together, to provide spiritual, mental, physical, and practical support to others. I can't help but think of the Cuomo brothers, Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York State, who has stepped up to the very front line of this pandemic when it so tragically hit his state, and his brother Chris, who has been struck down by COVID-19 and leaves his sick bed daily to talk to the world about what he is experiencing. Recently, I heard a conversation with a retired Canadian Lieutenant General and former Senator Romeo Dallaire, who was the Major General of the United Nations Assistance for Rwanda back in the 1990s. We know of his pain and struggles, both as a military commander and personally as he witnessed the worst of human nature. The interviewer asked him if he had any advice to give dealing with this very difficult pandemic. He said something surprising: to seek serenity within the chaos. To paraphrase some of what he said as an explanation is that we can choose to take a defensive position, which often results in a bunker mentality, which typically is expressed as denials, fear, panic, misinformation, setting blame, inappropriate or non-existent action, accusations, cover-ups, lies, and the creation of scapegoats. Or we can take an offensive position, which is to actively work to search for useful and accurate information, to be informed, to seek connections, to reach out to others, to get in touch with our own inner resources, to seek calm, to reflect, to reassess our priorities and go through a process of acceptance. What does this pandemic have to do with Easter other than the timing? The Easter story as a metaphor tells us that there is pain and death before there is rebirth. If there was ever a time when we needed a rebirth, it is now. We live in a time when lies, manipulation, greed, anger, fear, hatred, self-absorption, and yes, narcissism dominate much of our political systems, and therefore our decision-making. And yet we have the tools, we have the connections, we have knowledge and skills, we have energy and the inventiveness, and every day we see many, many examples of human compassion, caring, and love. Over and over I hear interviews with doctors, nurses, long-term care workers, and others when asked if they are afraid for their own health and safety, admit that they are, but they cannot abandon their work. They carry the responsibility, the burden, even knowing there is a possibility that they too may sicken and possibly die as well. Whatever we may believe about the man called Jesus, it is his humanity, his compassion, and his willingness to pay attention to and try to alleviate the suffering he saw all around that we remember. As well, it was his willingness to take on the suffering, to shoulder some of its burden. I prefer to think that he did not die for our sins, as many believe, but died because he was unwilling to turn his back on the suffering that he saw. He was unwilling to recant, to drop the load. He was and is an example of our potential as human beings. Next Easter, a year from now, it is very likely we will be in a different world. We don't know if it will be heading in the right direction or further down the path of destruction. But if we are to experience a rebirth as a country, as a society, and as a globe, we, all of us, have a rare opportunity to pause, reflect, and rebuild. We owe it to those who have gone before, to those who work so hard against enormous odds to make the world a better place, to those who suffer in such terrible and unnecessary ways, and to this unique and wonderful planet we call home.